from KTOO in Juneau. I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A judge ruled today that a ballot measure that would change how Alaskans choose state elected officials can move forward. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Yvonne Lamoureux overruled Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer, who rejected the Alaska's Better Elections Initiative. Meyer was acting on the advice of Attorney General Kevin Clarkson. Clarkson says the initiative violates a state law requiring that ballot measures address a single subject. Former state independent lawmaker Jason Gren is one of the initiative sponsors.
Obviously, we're ecstatic. The reason we appealed the Attorney General's findings was we thought that this, one, obviously would be good for Alaskans and good for our election reform up here in our state. But also, we thought that this fell under the umbrella of the single subject rule.
The initiative would require public disclosure of the names of those who contribute to groups working to influence candidate elections. It would also consolidate the state's primary system instead of holding separate party primaries. The top four finishers, regardless of party, would advance to the general election, and voters would be able to rank the candidates in the general election. Sponsors say this would ensure that the winner is preferred by a majority of voters. Lamoureux wrote that the initiative sponsors can immediately start gathering signatures. Sponsors want to submit a petition so that it will be on the ballot next year. For that to happen, they'll need to gather more than 28,000 signatures before the legislative session starts on January 21st. The state has already filed a request to put the effort to gather signatures on hold. Assistant Attorney General Corey Mills says the Alaska Supreme Court may have to resolve an appeal of the ruling. She says a previous court decision, Croft versus Parnell, lays out a standard that invalidates this initiative.
What the Croft versus Parnell court focused on is allowing voters the opportunity to vote on distinct proposals separately.
And Mills says this initiative has too many different pieces. Voters may like some pieces of it, but not others. Mills says the state will file an appeal within the next few days. The University of Alaska Board of Regents has agreed on a response to concerns raised by the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities. Last month, the Accreditation Commission raised concern about a UA system administrative-driven directive to go from three separately accredited institutions in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau to a single one, a change pushed by state legislators. The commissioners also pointed to a commission requirement that decision-making process include input from faculty, staff, administrators, and students. During a special meeting this afternoon, Regents approved a response document outlining taken and planned actions, including a halt to consideration of the single accreditation model and associated system-driven program reviews. During discussion of the response wording, Regent Lisa Parker pointed out that changes need to be made to make the restructure effort more inclusive.
While there has been some dialogue with our governance groups, the students, the staff, and the faculty, to this day, I continue to receive correspondence from students, staff, and faculty that they are not being engaged in the process as we move forward.
That was countered by Regent Dale Anderson, who pointed to a process he maintains has provided ample opportunity for participation.
I listened to 37 hours of it 1 week. I can't make myself think that we could have done anything more than open the doors that we already have for people to participate.
Regent Sherry Beretta emphasized that regardless of opinions on how the restructuring process has gone to date, the path forward is clear.
We want to have this collaboration. We want to have, and so whether or not you agree with what's happened in the past, our message going forward is this is what we want for our university.
Regents ultimately unanimously approved the response to the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities. It includes committing to a facilitated November 7th discussion between the board, UA chancellors, and the UA president to clarify authority, roles, and responsibilities in the restructuring process. The head of the U.S. Census Bureau stopped by Delta Junction recently as part of a tour around the state to encourage Alaskans to participate in the 2020 census. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
U.S. Census Bureau Director Stephen Dillingham says he came to Alaska to let people here know that the agency has made it easier to participate in next year's headcount. He hopes that and other changes will help the state improve on its tepid response to the 2010 census, when only about 64% of Alaskans initially responded, the lowest rate of all the 50 states.
Our goal is in every state in this nation to improve the self-response rate, and I think we will do that in Alaska.
Dillingham says he scheduled a stop in Delta Junction in part because it's located in an area that had one of the state's lowest rates of participation in 2010. Only about 18% of the people in the so-called Southeast Fairbanks census area responded back then.
Wherever I go, I always make a point to visit what we call hard-to-count areas. Those are the areas where the self-response rate is below, say, the state average or below the national average. And Alaska has been challenged in this way.
Dillingham says his visit to Alaska has helped him understand the difficulty of conducting the census in a sprawling state with a small, diverse population, some of which is located in remote communities where the culture may not place a high priority on the headcount.
Alaska has a lot of challenges because of its geography, its size, its languages, its tribal groups.
Local census workers say the cultural factor contributing to the low response rate in the Delta area is distrust of government by many members of the Slavic community. The emigres who've come here from Russia and other former Soviet republics over the past couple of decades constitute about a quarter of the area's population, or about 2,000 people.
Clearly, there's a resistance from some people, from a cultural community that just isn't comfortable handing information to the government.
Don Frazier says he encountered a lot of that resistance among members of the Slavic community when he helped out with the 2010 census in Delta. But he says there's another segment of the local population that may be even harder to win over, and that's the folks who just want to be left alone.
A lot of people come to Alaska to get away from other things, and if they come to the door at all, they probably come with an attitude.
Those and other Alaskans share a concern over giving information about themselves or their families to the federal government, and the controversy over President Trump's proposal to add a question to the census form about people's immigration status seems likely to aggravate that concern. Dillingham says the Census Bureau doesn't have enough data on whether the flap over the immigration question will discourage participation in the headcount, but he says preliminary study suggests it's likely to have at most a minimal effect.
By and large, we're finding that people, even the people that, for example, were opposed to the question, they're all supportive of everybody answering the census.
Meanwhile, the census workers will try to overcome reluctance to participate by emphasizing that an accurate count showing population growth will bring in more federal funding.
Yeah, we want to make sure every Alaskan is counted so that we get our fair share of the federal resources that come from the census drive funding formulas.
Barb Miranda works out of the Census Bureau's statewide office in Juneau. She's a former mayor of the city of Gustavus, so she understands the importance of federal funding for small towns. And she says most Alaskans do too, even those who are reluctant to share information about themselves or their families.
We rely on federal highway dollars to make sure our roads stay open. Our health clinics, our schools, especially our in the unorganized boroughs, we rely on federal funds to keep those doors open.
In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
Opponents of petroleum drilling in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge are preparing for a response to a possible petroleum lease sale. Interior Department hopes to conduct a lease sale by the end of the year. More than 30 groups have joined the Arctic Refuge Defense Campaign, which is a coalition dedicated to protecting the refuge that provides breeding habitat to polar bears, migratory birds, and the porcupine caribou herd shared with Canada. Campaign Director Desiree Sorensen-Groves says the environmental review for the sale was rushed and has flaws and will be challenged in court. Her group is also warning potential bidders that companies will face damage to their reputations if they bid on leases within the refuge, because it will harm polar bears and other Arctic species. The Pogo Mines, Australia-based owners, say they'll invest $30 million this fiscal year to expand the facility's capacity to process up to 30% more ore. Northern Star Resources officials say expansion of the ore processing facility will boost the amount of material it can process to 1.3 million tons annually. Officials declined to offer an estimate on how much more gold that additional processing capacity may yield. They also declined to talk on tape. Company officials said in an email They also plan another expansion at the mine, located about 38 miles northeast of Delta Junction. They also said a new mining technique they'll be using will lower the cost of extracting ore. They also are optimistic about more gold deposits in the Good Pastor discovery, roughly a half mile northwest of the mine. The officials said the expansion likely won't produce more mining jobs, but they said it'll generate short-term construction jobs and some additional spending on vendors. The state's investment arm is pumping more than $700,000 into a cash-strapped project designed to open up mineral exploration in northwest Alaska. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority's board approved additional funding for the proposed Ambler Road last week. The project would stretch from Dalton Highway to the Ambler Mining District northeast of Kotzebue and cross gates of the Arctic National Park. Critics say there are environmental concerns over routing through a national park. Others are concerned with impacts to federal subsistence rights. ADA President Tom Boutin says the cash infusion will help it complete federal permitting. The Bureau of Land Management is completing an environmental impact statement. Two properties with an abundance of junk cars and squatters near Butte are drawing the attention of authorities in the Matanuska-Susitna borough. KTVA reports about 100 people showed up to a community meeting last week to tell state lawmakers, Alaska State Troopers, and borough staff that they want problems addressed. Butte is an unincorporated community of about 3,600, spread out along 7 miles of the Old Glen Highway south of Palmer. The Matsu borough has sued the two owners of one of the properties for violating trash laws. The men live out of state and have so far evaded legal contact. A neighbor says people enter and exit the property and live in cars, campers, and even a semi located there. And finally, an Anchorage brewer, frustrated by state limits on his beer tasting room, has gotten around the rules by purchasing a full-service license. Anchorage Daily News reports Gabe Fletcher's new license went into effect at Anchorage Brewing Company last week. With the new license, Fletcher's business has fewer restrictions than the much less costly special brewery license that runs $1,000 plus fees. The business instead can now keep later hours and serve more than 3 12-ounce glasses of beer per person, among other freedoms. In Alaska, full-service licenses are limited to a finite number linked to population. Fletcher got his full license from a now-closed Italian restaurant, Romano's. He declined to say how much he paid, but those licenses can go for as much as $300,000. Looking at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juniboro and Northern Admiralty Island, tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-30s. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, October 28th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.